Hey everyone, welcome back to The Score and the first episode of our 2026 season. Now, before we jump in, I want to give you a quick heads up. This interview is true to my style and a little bit chaotic with a few things going on in the background because I was recording it while I was on my way to the Perf in Fort Worth. I stopped on the side of the road and I talked to Travis for about 45 minutes, but there's background noise in a few places. I'm multitasking all of it. That's real life in this sport, and it's what the industry looks like from the inside most days. So it's as authentic as you can get. This episode is with Travis Brown, and if that name sounds familiar, it should. Travis spent years at the highest level of the MMA, fighting in front of millions of people, competing with the best in the world, and living in an environment where pressure and preparation are absolutely everything. Now he has stepped into the sport of team roping, and it humbles even the toughest competitors, as everybody here listening knows. What makes this conversation so good is hearing Travis talk about starting over, going from elite in one world to being brand new in another. He's learning horsemanship, he is missing steers, he's getting yelled at in the box, he's feeling out of place, and he's still sticking with it. He talks really openly about ego and failure and the addiction to learning and why team roping has become such a meaningful part of his life and his family's life. So if the audio feels a little raw at times, just know that it fits the conversation. It fits the lifestyle and it fits the story of a guy who traded the octagon for the heading box and found joy in being a beginner again. Let's get into it. Like I said, it's a little raw, so just get into it straight away. Today's episode is brought to you by Dekra Veterinary Products. We will tell you more about Dekra at the commercial break.
Well, give me the 40,000 foot view on how you ended up involved in team roping. How did this happen? Tell me the story.
Well, it all started with this kid named Kobe that we ended up raising here in Southern California. And, We raised them to harvest and eat because we have, a few acres down here and took our first bite after we harvested them, and man, it was life changing. So it was better than anything that we ever got from the store, market, wherever. And that led us into buying a ranch, which, I went to my first branding while we owned the ranch, when we first bought the place.
Uh-huh.
And I was the ground crew the entire time.
Sure.
So I was watching those guys. Those guys are real cowboys. I'm a team roper. So the big difference. But those guys were, it looked like so much fun. I just told myself, I want to do that. I don't want to be on the ground crew necessarily the whole time, mm-hmm. I was, because they would rotate. They'd go from riding the horse to ground crew, and you kind of swap back and forth, so you don't do one thing the entire time. That's what I wanted to do. I watched those guys and I was like, I want to do that. And so I went out and I bought a horse, learned how to ride, and then started learning how to just kind of rope, throw heel loops or heel traps and just start dragging calves to the fire. And that was up in Oregon, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I lived down in Southern California. So after a while, I got pretty decent at catching calves, stuff like that. And so I was like, there's nothing else to do down here in Southern California with a horse. And about, when was it? It was like October, November of 2004 I went to Sissy Barnes, who helped me to learn how to rope and ride. She's down here in Nuevo.
Uh-huh.
And then like just over a year ago, 15 months ago or so, I was talking to her. I said, hey, I think I want to try to team rope, you know, just gives me something to do. There's stuff, jackpots around here. You know, I just want to do something with my horse. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so she's like, sounds good. So we got my horse at the time. His name was Jugs. We got him in the box and we just, you know, starting from ground zero, you know, barely knowing how to ride for like maybe a year or two. And just branding, which is a lot of fun, but it's not like that get up and go like you have in team roping, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so as soon as I backed him in the box, he had already headed a bunch and so he was more understanding what to do than I was. So as soon as those gates open and he took off, he almost flung me off the back. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. And that was without even picking up my rope. I didn't even have a rope in my hand. That was just following the steer.
Yeah. You know?
And it just shows you how much power they have and how fast the sport goes. And there's just so much to it. And then we, you know, after maybe a week of, not even a week, maybe 3-4 days of doing that, just following the steer so I can make sure I have my balance and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not just like, you know, falling off or whatever. And So we put a rope in my hand and I went about, oh, probably like 2 or 3 days without catching anything. Cause I was, it's like patting your stuff or rubbing your stomach and patting your head and,
for sure.
And doing it in reverse, you know, and yep. trying to stay on your horse and swing a rope. I was like, what is going on? And so that, for me, I think it was the challenge of trying to figure that out. Right. And knowing that other people can do it so I could do it. And so it just, I kept trying. And the first time I caught one, it was great. It was like, it just gets you more addicted to the sport, you know, just at first, like I was saying, without a rope in my hand, just leaving out of the box and how much power those animals have, to then following the steer and just getting in my position. And then it was leaving out of the box, following the steer, and then catching one by the horns. That got me more addicted. And then leaving the box, catching the horns, and then turning them. And I was like, oh, buddy, I'm done. This is it. I love this stuff. You know, it was such a rush. And then, you know, I'm doing that for a little bit. And I'm starting to turn steers for like maybe a month or so. And I got a wild hair up my butt and I talked to Sissy. I was like, hey, Sissy, there's a jackpot. It's actually my first jackpot is January 4th, 2025. My daughter was set to be born 2 days later. And so I go to this jackpot and I'm like, I should be able to catch, you know, at that point I'd started catching pretty good after about a month of doing it. And I remember signing up because Sissy went with me. I asked her actually, hey, would you go with me so I don't look like a complete idiot? Like, cause I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? Like, where do I go? Who do I talk to? Where do I sign up? Do you warm up? Do you whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I had zero experience. I had just started turning steers like 2 months before.
Was it an actor roping? Was it like a World Series roping? What kind of roping was it?
No, just a local jackpot.
Like a local jackpot, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a small local jackpot. I mean, actually, it wasn't that small because it was a New Year's Eve roping or New Year's roping. So it was like the first roping of the year. I think there was like 100 and some odd teams, which is, in the grand scheme of things, it's not the biggest jackpot, but down here in Southern California, it's a decent one. You know, you get you know, 150 teams or something. That's a decent jackpot down here. So like I go and, oh man, it just opened my eyes because the first one I missed, and now I'm like starting to just feel like, oh man, what did I get myself into? Then the second one I missed, and I'm like, oh buddy. and then the third one, I didn't know the kid at the time, but his name is Cade Finch. And I went and I remember I threw my rope and it was like 2 feet in front of the steer and to the left. And I was and I remember just thinking like, what the heck was that? And I remember like when we're in the back, you know, after the run or whatever, and I'm like, hey man, I'm sorry about that. And he just gave me this smirk where I was like, dude, that was pretty bad. But come to find out, that's just kind of like his, that's not really what he's saying when he smiles like that. That's just like him in general. I was being defensive because I sucked so bad that day. Yeah, it was the funniest thing. And then my fourth one, I'm like, I'm a wreck because I've missed 3 steers. I'm like, dude, I'm an idiot. You know, I suck, all this kind of stuff. And then, so I thought they called my name. So I go into the box and then people are yelling at me. You're not up. You're not yelling. They're just like, hey bud, you're not up. Get out of the box. I'm like, oh shit. You know, so I go out of the box and I'm standing there and I'm feeling even more dumb about myself. I'm like, geez, dude, what am I doing? And then I guess they were calling, it was kind of hard to hear. So then they're calling my name, mm-hmm. but I didn't really hear them and I didn't want to go in there again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to go in there again and they get yelled at like, it's not your time. So then people started saying, you know, they start calling my name that are on horseback right around there, like Travis Brown, because nobody knew me. And so then I'm like, oh, that's me. And so I'm already flustered. You know what I mean? And then the fourth one went to shit too. And I missed that one. And I went home with my tail tucked between my legs after my first rope in. But I didn't let it stop me.
Yeah, you weren't you weren't too discouraged or what? Tell me about how you approached it afterwards.
Yeah, I just felt like an idiot.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, honestly, that's all it was. I just felt like an idiot. But, you know, it's like, man, I'm watching these people. And one of the things I've always told myself is that if somebody else can do it, then you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so everybody else is doing it and they're catching, they're turning. Obviously, it's a sport. So I'm like, I'm just going to get better. And so I went back and then I just practiced with Sissy more and she gave me stuff to work on and started catching a little bit more. And then about a month later, there was another jackpot in February. And that one actually took 6. And I was like I went from not catching one to actually placing and getting like a $400 check or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was so proud of myself. I came home like, babe, I won 6. I got $400 and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, this is it, babe. We're going to get a nice trailer. We're going to do all this kind of, she's like, she's looking at me. She's like, babe, you won $400. I was like, I know, but I'm going to get way better at this. I promise. So she's just, and we both just started laughing. We were laughing so hard because of how excited I was, because for me, it was a challenge, right? Like,
yeah,
I had just started turning steers like 3 months before that.
I love it, right? So and, much. And,
yeah. And so then I was ultra hooked, right? And I mean, kudos, Ernesto Chavez was my healer,
mm-hmm.
when I won that. I think it was like 6th place or 7th place or something like that. And he's a really good healer, like in the area, right? So I got lucky that I drew him because, oh boy, the handles I gave him weren't anything to write home about. I mean, I started to face too early and I had to back my horse up and we almost slipped a leg. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I don't know how we placed, you know, but mm-hmm. we did. And after that, I was like, oh my goodness, this I'm done, you know, like mm-hmm. in a good way, like this, like, and after that, I went, oh, 2 months of, you know, riding and roping and jackpotting and not placing and all that kind of stuff. And then in March, I think it was in March, I ended up taking second in a qualifier, in a World Series qualifier with Charlie Higgins,
mm-hmm.
who I've come to, you know, be friends with, and he's a great healer. And boy, did he clean up some trash for us to play second. But I mean, the more I do it, the more and more I just get more addicted to it. And now we just bought a new bloomers. I bought 2 new horses. You know, it's like, I'm like, babe, we're going to winter in
Wickenburg.
Because our plans is probably to, we're moving to Hawaii. So mm-hmm. we're going to go to the finales in December and then winter in Wickenburg. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
every year from now on. And the thing that I really love about this is that, like, I'm getting my kids into it, and mm-hmm. it's something that we can do together. It's not something that daddy goes and does on his own and they just have to sit there and watch. You know what I mean? This is something that we can do together as a family. It's something that they're going to grow up doing and learning the responsibility to take care of an animal and learning how to, you know, ride and rope and just have that as far as a skill set goes, I think is great for young kids. And being around the culture and just this industry in general, I think is great, you know, and
yeah.
that's something that I want my kids to be around.
So how many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids.
4 kids.
2 are older. They're in college now. Mm-hmm. They're playing football in college. And then I have my 2 younger ones. So my 2 older ones, they're, you know, they're not into mm-hmm. roping or riding. But my younger, like I bought this horse Maverick for, I mean, it's for, I say it's for me, but it's for my daughter for when she, you know, he's like ultra safe.
You're gray.
Super easy going. Yeah, my gray.
You're gray.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's my gray. And but that's my daughter's horse. You know, that's her mm-hmm. unicorn. So
for sure.
When I showed her a picture of Maverick, I said, I'm gonna go look at this horse. She's like, Daddy, that's my horse. Look, he's a unicorn because he's gray, you know, mm-hmm. and all like he's like a unicorn. I was like, yeah, all right. I shouldn't have showed you this picture. If I don't come home with this horse, you're gonna be so mad at me.
Yep, you're stuck. Yep.
Yeah, but luckily he's a great horse, and he's just an amazing rope horse, and just a great horse overall. And his demeanor is amazing. You know, mm-hmm. I could put anybody on them. I put every morning I go out and feed, I put my daughter on them because she wants to sit on them while I go feed. And she just hangs out on them for 20 minutes while I feed all the animals and take care of some morning chores. And she just hangs out on them, hugging them, loving them, you know.
That's
and
awesome.
Just such a great horse. So, yeah.
Very.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it all
I love
started
it.
And the beginning part of my adventure into this team roping.
Yeah. World. And you, but how have you approached it? I mean, what I keep thinking back to is you went from like the elite of one sport to mm-hmm. now you are like have to humble yourself, or this sport humbles you. You don't have to humble yourself. It humbles you pretty fast. But like, yeah. How are you handling that transition from being like one of the best in the world to green as can be in this sport?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean that you're good at everything.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's, I mean, if you think you can pick up something that you've never done before in your life, and especially something that has to do with animals, like riding a horse and then, you know, ranching and doing and working with cattle and learning cattle and how they move, and, you know, even just up on the ranch, learning how to push your herd, you know, to the next pasture or something like that, or in the roping pen or in the branding pen, you know, learning, okay, if I put pressure towards their hip, they're probably going to move forward. If I put pressure towards the front shoulder, they're probably going to back up and move backwards and turn and all this kind of, so like learning all that stuff, it humbles you real quick. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the sport of team roping where it's for time, you know, and you're trying to work as quick as possible, but you also got to make it as clean as possible, because as a header, if you throw your rope and you get it on there, you know, just in a couple seconds, doesn't mean the handle is going to be great. Then your feeler is going to have to follow you all the way across the pen, and you'll be 10 seconds anyways. Mm-hmm. Or 15, you know, if he slips a leg because you didn't put on a clean handle or something like that. I mean, there's just so much to it. And for me, kind of getting back to like, like you said it, this sport will humble you in a heartbeat. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? And I didn't really have to do it on my own, but I love learning and, mm-hmm, I love picking up a new skill. And this is something that I've fallen in love with. So for me, it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I want to get better. I want to learn the systems on, when I find something interesting, I try to be the best that I can at it. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the best in the world. I'm 43 now. I'm not trying to go win the NFR or something, mm-hmm, like that. But I want to get as good as I can get. You know what I mean? And if that means I can make it to, you know, number 8 or number 7 header or something like that, I would be proud of myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Over the next few years, 5 years, 10 years, however long it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get that, I mean, as far as I can go, I'll be proud of myself, because this is something I'm doing for fun.
Yeah.
Fighting was fun when I was doing it, but it's something that I wanted. My goal was to be the best in the world. I came up short with that. That humbled me a lot, you, mm-hmm, know, just not reaching my goal in fighting. But this is something that I'm doing for fun, so I don't have the pressure that I had when I was fighting. And even when I am back in the box and it's a short go and, you know, you have to be 8-9 seconds, a clean run and stuff like that, it's like, in my mind, pressure is a privilege. I've walked out in front of hundreds of thousands of people, you know, fought in front of millions on TV, and that to me is pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Backing your horse into a box and letting your horse is doing the majority of the work. You're the skill part, right? You got to get the rope on there and make a clean run and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, that's fun to me. You know what I mean? This is all just fun. Like I could be doing a million other things, but I want to do this. And so to me, this whole team roping, it's so much fun, and this is where I find my joy now that I'm retired.
Every horse deserves to feel their best. That's why veterinarians trust Dechra Veterinary Products, a global leader in equine health. From joint comfort and mobility to reproduction, skin and eye care, and essential fluid therapy, Dechra's solutions support horses through every stage of life. When your veterinarian recommends Dechra's products, you can be confident your horse is receiving high-quality, proven care. Because at Dechra, they're dedicated to helping your horse live healthier, longer, and stronger.
Love that. But at the same time, I mean, is there anything, are you borrowing the intensity as far as, I mean, I was blown away by how well you absorbed so much that the guys were teaching you the other day when we were in Temecula, mm-hmm. like how quickly mm-hmm. you could process things. I don't know if it's your athleticism or your coachability or what parts from your fighting career or your just athletic career in general are you finding or translating over or you're using to grow in this sport?
Yeah, I think all of the above, like the intensity, you know, like when I'm backing into the box, I'm looking at that steer and I'm like, I'm gonna rope the shit out of those horns. You know what I mean? I'm gonna get you. You know what I mean? Like you're not getting away from me, and we're gonna make this look good. You know what I mean? Like that's like what I'm telling myself as I'm backing into the box, and it's like, you know, you're staring at the horns, you're looking at the animal, you're and the same thing in fighting. You know, there's a lot to do with like vision and how you imagine something going, how you're like bringing it to fruition, right? So mm-hmm. when I'm getting ready to rope, I'm doing the same thing. I've been there. Like I went and I roped at in the finale in Vegas, and you know, riding down through the back of the arena or underneath the stands through the back of the arena.
Yeah.
It gave you that little chill going up your neck, like kind of like, you know, the same thing in fighting when you're standing.
I love
in the
that
back
so much. Yes.
And you hear the crowd, you know, you hear the announcer. It's just so much fun. But for me, it was a little bit harder to take in the moment when I was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had this goal, right? Like this goal when I was fighting was to beat the guy that was across the cage from me, mm-hmm. across the octagon. And this is like, I just get to absorb it. I get to take it all in. I get to live in the moment. I get to be present. I'm not, you know, necessarily thinking about the end goal. I'm mm-hmm. just enjoying the moment. Now that kind of changes when, you know, I start getting maybe like five teams out, you know, or, mm-hmm. or maybe 10 teams out. I start getting my focus. I start envisioning how this is going to happen. I have this, you know, have like the checkbox of what you're going to do. You know, you're back in, you know, you ride into the box, back your horse up. How's he facing? How's he sitting? Is he not sitting right? Okay, bring forward, back up again. You know what I mean? Just that whole check, uh-huh. the checklist thing. But yeah, I mean, it's just, again, it like going to the finales and being a part of that was almost like reliving the fighting, just because it's such a big stadium and you're going underneath yes. there and, you know, and you're just all the bright lights and all that kind of stuff. And man, I just have a big smile on my face just talking about it, because again, it was just so much fun.
I love it so much. That's like, of course we work for the World Series. We're owned by the same company. We work for them. So, and put so much into the finale. So hearing you say that brings me great joy. that it's all.
Oh, and then
all the work is worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think some of the other aspects, you know, because we touch base on the intensity mm-hmm. and getting there. And then, like you were saying, I mean, I've been coached close to my entire life, mm-hmm. you know, so my athletic ability, like a lot of people don't understand that when I started fighting, I was 27. That was like when I had my first fight. I didn't start training until I was like 25 or mm-hmm. 20, yeah, about 25. And then I had my first fight when I was 27. And then I was in the UFC when I was 28. And then I was ranked third in the world when I was, I think 31. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it all happened very quickly. And I think, and then I was retired by the time I was 35. And so I've always had that ability to pick up, like, another a sport, if that makes sense. And that's what this is, you know. It's this is more, I think, of like a skilled sport. I would almost maybe compare it to like baseball, where you're your hand-eye coordination has to be there, but you also have to have athletic ability. You have to have timing. You have to have skill in riding your horse. That's something that I'm, that's a whole new, something that I'm trying to get better at with is my horsemanship. Because
yeah, I was going to ask what the biggest struggle was. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I mean, roping I'm getting down pretty easily, but for me, it's like working with your horse and the horsemanship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, so I've had the, like, it's been a huge blessing to work with Tyler Wade and Wesley Thorpe and somebody that really helped. And also the gentleman that healed for me in Porterville, Charlie Higgins, he's been working with me a lot. Sissy Barnes is working with me a lot. But I also had Charlie Crawford come out. And man, he's such a wealth of knowledge.
He's the man. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He has great systems. Uh-huh. You know, like the way that he coaches and he explains things. Like for me, I was just having a really hard time figuring out you know, the turning the steer and making it smooth and making it catchable for my heeler. And when he came out, he really helped me with that and how he explained it. And then, you know, I went with Tyler Wade, and man, that was amazing too. I learned so much during that clinic and swinging my rope and how to deliver my rope and you know, he had the PVC pipe hanging off the left horn and how to finish all the way around to make sure you catch that. And that was a huge help and being consistent. And but yeah, I mean, there's just so much to the sport. It's hard to get into everything because sure. I'm not great at it. You know what I mean? I'm still a number three. You know what I mean? So
yep.
So this is just
we're still figuring it out. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I would say the biggest thing for me right now is my horsemanship and getting my horse to work for me, and knowing how to push the buttons to get them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do people recognize you? Like, do you run into that where people know you from your fighting career at the team ropings, or does everybody kind of leave you alone?
At first everybody kind of left me alone because I just went to these local mm-hmm. jackpots and stuff. At first people kind of left me alone, but then I think, you know, and I'm not one that stands up there on my high horse and I'm like, I'm Travis Brown from the UFC, you know, all that stuff. I just kind of stay to myself, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't really say much. I speak when spoken to, and you know, I'm friendly and everything. And it's just now that people know me in the area, it's not really a big, big thing around here. But I've been going out to like Wickenburg this year and stuff like that. And yeah, I get noticed, you know, people are like, hey, you're the fighter. I'm like, yeah, that's me. You know, like I used to be a fighter. Now I'm a team roper on the, you know, I'm a weekend warrior team roper. But yeah, it's been, you know, it's fun. It's something that I did in my past and people recognize me for it. I think that's amazing. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. I feel like in team roping though, we're sometimes used, like there's actors or baseball players or like things that we're kind of used to people coming in and out of our space a little bit. So maybe,
yeah.
I like to think we can be pretty cool. Like we can act cool and we can be pretty chill about that kind of stuff and not be too big of fangirls or anything. But
yeah, well, it's usually, I mean, it's been easy. It hasn't been an issue at all. Everybody's been super nice and cool about it. And yeah.
Do you think, you said your kids are getting into roping. Is that is Rhonda team roping a possibility, or is she not interested?
No, she just likes to ride. Mm-hmm. You know, she likes to go on trail rides and be out on the ranch and just kind of go enjoy that time nice and quiet, you know, just kind of relax. But she's not really into team roping. She doesn't have that the desire to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, my girls are, or my oldest daughter, she's just learning how to ride. And so she'll get into it though. I'm for sure.
That's awesome. What are, I know you said you want to kind of climb the number ranks a little bit, get your number raised, rope a little bit, like rope all over the place. What are some other goals that you have in team roping?
I mean, this is something where I just want to be around good people. Mm-hmm. You know, meet good people and hear their stories. And that's something that that's been really cool too, is, you know, sitting down and talking with Tyler, with Tyler and, mm-hmm. and Wesley and stuff like that. And just kind of, you know, getting to know people you know, just opening up a whole new kind of like industry almost of people, you know, that they it is so different than fighting that, you know, I've been around the fighting world. I've met a lot of those people and they're great people and, you know, all the best to them. And, you know, it's just, I think this is where life is taking me. You know, it's fun and exciting and get to meet new people and
I love it.
You get to hear how people work their horses, you know, and that's one of the things about being able to be coached and mm-hmm. take little things from different people and apply it to yourself. Cause I mean, like I have to watch a run maybe 10 times to see what, you know, somebody like Tyler Wade or Charlie Crawford or any of these guys would see in a second, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, did you see that? Did you see what you did with your hand? I'm like, no, I didn't see what I did with my hand there. What did I do? You know what I mean? And they're like, mm-hmm. well, you see where it is here, or, you know, you want to, you know, push them over to the left with your leg or this. And I'm like, dude, how do you guys do all these things at once and stay on your horse and rope and turn a steer and this yeah. and that? It's really amazing.
Are you having to like use your refine your strength or like watch how strong you can be on your horses?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, for the first little while I was using the reins to stay on balance.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Which, mm-hmm. which that means that you're pulling on your horse and then you're pissing your horse off and then mm-hmm. he's not working for you. And then he's blowing up in the box and then he's, you know, and then he's causing all these kind of problems all because, you know, I'm yanking on him. And so, and I'm a bigger guy. I mean, I'm, you know, 6'7", 260 some pounds. And yeah, you know, you got to learn how to finesse, and these animals, they, what I've learned are the, in my opinion, because everybody's going to have a different opinion, but in my opinion, the best horses out there, you learn how to work with them. You don't necessarily force them like, to do everything. Like there's instances where you kind of got to get on the horse, right? Where they're just, they're not listening and they're giving you some attitude, and I totally get that. But for the most part, these animals want to work, right? And so you have to learn how to get them to want to work with you.
Yeah.
And so some finesse and knowing what you're doing, when to put pressure at a certain time, when to release pressure, how to, you know, manipulate their body by using yours while you're on their back during the run. You know, there's just, again, I think one of the things I really love about team roping is how complicated it is, how challenging it is, because no two runs are the same. You know, somebody told me, they said that, you know, in team roping you have five heartbeats. you know, the two riders, the two horses and the steer. And so nothing's ever going to be the same, even on that same steer. You know what I mean? They're just,
yeah, for sure.
Something's different, you know? And I think that is what really pushes me to get better for me, is because like I take that as a challenge, right? I try to ride my horses and like my two horses, they're so different but very similar at the same time. And so jumping on one to the other, I got to ride them different. I rope a little bit differently. I have to get my rope up quicker on my gray than I do on my buckskin, because it's a little bit faster, you know, and all these different kind of things. But that's the fun, challenging aspect for me in team roping, is that it is so different. And then watching other people with their horses and knowing, like my first horse, he was a great horse. He was just super hot, and he probably wasn't the best horse for me to get to start doing this. but he bucked me off like 6 or 7 times, just because of dumb stuff that I was doing.
Sure,
that I didn't
realize
I was doing it right. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, so I came off a handful of times off of him, and it's it was a big learning curve for me.
So is there where do we think, what is your schedule like, where do you, I mean, we talked about goals, but like, where do you think, are you going to be in Wickenburg some more this winter? Is that on the radar?
Absolutely, I'll be out there from the 8th to the 16th and I'm gonna do the title fights, and hopefully that's
amazing. I was talking about you on a conference call with the team, and they were like, wouldn't it be funny if he went to the title fights? And I was like, that would be awesome. But turns out you're way ahead of us. It's not a publicity stunt. You're actually going to the title fights.
absolutely yeah. I can't get enough of this stuff.
I love it. Who are your runs at the title fights?
Honestly, I have like 4 or 5 guys that I'm roping with. Jason James, I actually just won the 9.5 over 40 with him on the New Year's at Rancho Rio.
Okay.
So we're gonna do a run for the title fights. A guy named Trevor Saylor. I just met him when I was out there for those New Year's roping in Wickenburg, and so he's one of my runs. I have a guy out here, Matt Eskendale. He's going to be one of my runs. Let me see. Who else do I got? I have a guy out that I just roped with out there named Peyton Clayman. He actually ropes out here in Riverside area, and he'll be out there, so he's going to be one of my runs as well. Other than that, I honestly go to a lot of these things and I just put in for the draw.
Yeah,
I don't know that many people. I just have a lot of fun doing it, and so I go, and I'll probably put in for the draw and all the rest of them. I mean, I'm gonna rope in the 7, 8, 9, and 10, so even though I probably have no business roping in the 9 or the 10, but I seem to do pretty good in those.
No, I love that, because that means you just end up with better heelers. You give those better heelers somebody to rope with. You're going to... getting your number raised is something that is like a constant complaint and struggle in team roping. But I think I've found that like people, like other professional athletes that I've written about who've come to the sport, like want their numbers raised. Like they like want to be better. They don't want to protect their number. How do you feel about your number situation?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think from what I understand, there's kind of a system in place to get your number raised or not, right?
Like yeah.
If you start winning, it's all, from my understanding, I just want to rope That's all I care about. Like, I just want a rope.
So, I love it. That's going to be just the headline. That's going to be the headline. I just want a rope. I love it.
Yeah. It really is. Like, one of the a really fun, like, when we were there and Wesley healed for me a couple times. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I was like, I came home and I told my wife about it. She was laughing at me. She's like, babe, you're like a little fan right there. Like, you're a little nerd. I was like, babe, I'm a total nerd. Like, that was really cool. You know, like, you watch this guy on TV and he's won the NFR and he's sitting there cleaning up your trash. You know what I mean? It's like, freaking A, that's super cool. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Those two are like as easy to get along with as anybody you could become friends with. So I'm glad you came to their school.
Yeah, super cool guys.
Did you just see their school on the internet, or did somebody in the circle, in your circle, let you know about it, or how did you find out about it?
Yeah, so Melanie over that mm-hmm. that CRC, she's mm-hmm. she's the one that. So I went and I did a Rich Skelton clinic too. Mm-hmm. And so that's how her and I kind of met.
Yeah.
And so she was telling me back then that she was going to try to get you guys to come out, and she would let me know. So as soon as she let me know, I, you know, sent her the money to sign up. And that's, I was like, awesome. Absolutely. It's funny, but I actually postponed my trip to Hawaii for 2 days, actually 3 days, to go to that clinic. Because on that Sunday, right? So we had I think it was a Friday, Saturday clinic. On that Sunday, we were supposed to leave like Thursday or mm-hmm. something like that. And I talked to my wife. I was like, babe, there's a roping clinic. She's like, Trav. I'm like, babe, come on. You know, we can just extend the trip a couple extra days. She's like, all right, that's fine. And so she's super supportive too. She loves that I love it so much, and that I'm a nerd for team roping and just having so much fun with it. She can see, you know, when I get to go rope and just do this stuff, she sees how happy it makes me, you know, and how much I talk about it and, you know, how much I actually do it, and she loves it. She loves it for me, you know.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Travis. I have some really cool pictures of you. I posted just some of them on Tyler's Facebook page the other day, but I will, I have a whole bunch to go with this article, so I'm excited for you to see them.
Awesome. That'll be great.
If you need anything at all, let me know. I appreciate you so much visiting.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did, because it was a blast. And Travis is a super fun dude. I am looking forward to seeing him at ropings all over creation. It is going to be a lot of fun to watch his progress in the sport of team roping. Thank you to our sponsors at Decker Veterinary Products for sponsoring this week's episode of The Score. We will be back at you again in a couple weeks. Thank you.